ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनाववतो सहनौ भुनक्तो सह वीर्यं भक्तियोगबोधाश्च निश्चितम् दिस् फुल्नेस् आर् हेपिनेस् आर् लिमिट्लेस्नेस् इस् नथिङ्ग् बट् दि प्योर् नालेज् एण्ड् दिस् प्योर् नालेज् इस् दि ट्रूत् Truth when you say Satyam, Satyam when you say, even Gita class we saw, what is Satyam? Satyam is that which exists always. Satyam is that which exists always means, how does it exist? Without undergoing any change, without changing, it always exists. It always exists, the word always implies the beginninglessness and the endlessness and also the changelessness of the truth. That is what is called truth. And what is this truth? The pure knowledge. And what is this pure knowledge? What is its sorupam? What is the pure knowledge? Truth, sorupam of the truth is pure knowledge. And sorupam of the truth is what? Fullness. Nirevu, Murumai, Arivu, the sorupam of the reality. And in discovering this fullness, a human being becomes free from his limitations. The human mind becomes, in fact, human being when I mean the human mind, isn't it? The human mind becomes free from limitations in discovering this truth. Therefore, what? So, happiness is something, the truth is already there. Therefore, happiness is already there. Why? Because the truth, the pure knowledge and happiness are not different things. You know, truth or pure knowledge or fullness are not different things. So, knowing the truth is knowing what fullness is, knowing what fullness is, knowing what pure knowledge is, knowing what pure knowledge is what knowing what fullness is. So this fullness is already there. If it is, when you say the very word always, it is there. That means what? It is not something to be created. Fullness or happiness, it is already there. You are not creating it. It is not created. It is not created, therefore it's also what? Not attained also. Uncreated, unattainable, unattained. It's already there. And where is it? Where is it available? And this fullness or this truth never available for objectification, never available as an object of knowledge. It is always available for the mind to discover, to know. It's always available. But how is it? Why it is not available? As long as you search for it as an object of knowledge, no, anything other than the mind, external to the mind, then it is not, as the mind also is what, understand now, it is not available. It is available, but for recognition. Why? Which is very difficult to attain. It is impossible to attain, impossible to find if you are searching for it as an object of knowledge. Understand? But it becomes sulabha. Bhagavan is sulabha durlabha. Understand now? When it is durlabha, when it is difficult to know, attain, if you search as an object, all the objects. Sulabha. When it is sulabha, when it becomes easy to attain, how is it becomes possible? Sulabha means possibly, okay, attain is possible. That means, how is it sulabha? Once you search for it in a right place, understand now, how? Not as an object, but as the subject of knowledge, isn't it? As the knower, as the self. Therefore, knower is the pure knowledge. There is no other knower other than pure knowledge. Okay, that's why knower means we always think of all the gross form. Here knower is like light when you say. Illuminator is the light when you say. Illuminator does not mean as a person or a form or anything. Similarly here also, you know that which lights up is light. So illuminator is the light. That which knows is pure knowledge. Knower is pure knowledge. There is no knower other than the pure knowledge. And that knower is pure knowledge. Once you know what pure knowledge is, then you know you have resolved the knower in pure knowledge. And that knowledge is what? The self. The meaning of the word I. Isn't it? That not, there is no, not, there is nothing, there is no other I. Actually speaking, the I definitely cannot be placed on an object of knowledge at all. If you really think carefully, relatively you can have identity with the whole, you know, individual being as body, mind, complex. But absolutely, if we analyze carefully, I cannot be placed on an object of knowledge. Any of the objects of knowledge. Therefore, I is what now? I is equal to what is this a substantive and what is the substance? Knower. Okay? Who is the knower? Pure knowledge. What is pure knowledge? Fullness. And why do we say this? That is, why do we say fullness? Because the self, the truth, the meaning of the word I is one indivisible, partless whole. Therefore, the same truth is the substance of the I in everything. That's why all the I's had to be reduced to what? One I now. Isn't it? All the I's had to be reduced to only one I. And one I also has to be reduced to what? Just the truth. Understand now? That is what is the fact. So, one indivisible, partless whole. Therefore, truth of every being is what? One and the same. Every being, truth of everything, small or big, visible or invisible, subtle or gross, truth of everything is what? In fact, one and the same. And that truth is in fact, we say pure awareness. That pure awareness is fullness. Niraivum, Parambrahmam, repeating the sentence, no? They are not two different things at all. Not two different things. And this you can understand. You can discover it. But if it is already there, that is what is the truth, if it is already there, why still then I am not experiencing? Why? No, I am not able to experience the word. Why is it not possible for me to be happy always? Why should there be a thing called unhappiness then? The question comes. Because somewhere, this fullness being there is what? It is the flow of fullness is obstructed. It's not like a flow of water. But if, for example, I had to say, like, you know, yesterday I was talking to you about it. Just there's a water in the tank above, but still the water cannot flow easily means there's something blocking the tap. Therefore, it's not that water is not there. Something blocking the tap. Similarly, that fullness is also blocked here. No, prevented from manifesting. Fullness is prevented from being manifest. What is it really which prevents this fullness from being manifest? Because here he says threefold obstacles. I'm going to take you to something else. That's what I'm talking. I have to tell you all this. Pitika. It's called Purva Pitika. Purva Pitika means what? All I have to tell you to take you to something else. So what are the three blocks here? Okay, three obstacles. Called three, pratibandhatrayam. You have to say pratibandhatrayam. Pratibandha means obstacle. Edutthu anek marakirudhu. That's called pratibandha. No, you cannot move, go further, no? Something is stopping it, but pratibandha. Something comes, no, and stops it. So, like a blockage. So, here we say pratibandha is obstacle, obstruction here. What a pratibandhatraya means threefold obstacles. No? One obstacle is what? A gross obstacle. Another obstacle is subtle obstacle. And other obstacle is what? Very fine, subtlest obstacle. No, the first gross obstacle is called malam. Okay, the gross obstacle is called what? Malam. Malam means what? Impurities. Okay, mental impurities. That is the way Thirukkural Valluvar says, Manathukkan Maasu Ilan Aadal. Understand? Manathukkan Maasu. That's why Thirukkural very beautiful it says here. So, Ullathum is very beautiful. He talks about so, Malam, when you say, that is mental impurities. And what is the next? This is the gross obstacle. And what is the next obstacle? Vikshepaha. Vikshepaha. Now, vikshepaha means what? The attention being thrown to different things is vikshepa. Attention being thrown to attention of the mind being thrown to different things implies distraction, okay, or you can say agitation, restlessness, mental stress, the stress, strain, mental stress, agitation, restlessness is what now? Vikshepaha. It is a subtle obstruction. And what is the third obstruction we have here? Avaranam. Malam, vikshepaha, avaranam. Avaranam means actually cover. And here, what is that avaranam? What is that which covers, no? Covering the fullness? Cover itself becomes what? Cover itself stops. Understand now? Obstructs from this happiness from being manifest. Therefore, avaranam is avidya, ignorance, ajnanam. Ajnanam is the avaranam here. Ignorance is the avaranam. So, malam, impurities, vikshepaha, restlessness, and avaranam, ignorance. This ignorance is what? The avaranam is the subtlest, thin layer of obstacle. That is why you need what? Razor, isn't it? What is now? We have the finer the something to be removed, more carefully you have to remove, isn't it? Suppose something, we have to do some operation or something, gross thing. It's easy, isn't it? Just open a local anesthesia, just cut it and throw it. But when you have to deal with a cataract and all that, very careful, isn't it? Look at this. Even here, gross level, we have this. And here, there's nothing, no subtlest, nothing, not subtler removal than this, okay? Avaranam is the very, very subtlest obstacle, fine obstacle. So, when we, what now? We need threefold solutions, okay? Threefold means of removal, okay? Things to remove. So, upayaha also we have a three, trayaha upayaha, okay? Threefold upayam. Tamil upayam gra vaarthi irukkilla. Threefold upayatrayam. What is pratibandha traya nivrut? Upayatrayam. Understand now? We need threefold upayas also. How can we remove this? If that's why Shastram says you don't work hard to accomplish something, attain fullness, okay? It's already there. You have to take it, treasure, okay? You have to just get it. You have to allow it. Remove the obstacles and nothing can stop. If you remove the block from the tap, water will just flow. Similarly, in Anandaha also, happiness also will flow as it were. Because Ananda will not flow. Ananda also cannot be prevented. Fullness also what? Cannot be prevented from being manifest. Nobody can, how can you stop it? It's already there. Therefore, see the Mala Nivrityartham Karma Yogaha. So what did he do? First he said, remember, he said, hey, what is this big karma? But karma yogaha, living a life of karma yogaha, we will see in Bhagavad Gita class. I'll explain that. What is karma yoga? Elaborately we'll see that. So living a life of karma yogaha is the only way to get rid of, to remove this obstacle or obstruction called malam in the form of mental impurities. What are the mental impurities? So many impurities are there. But now all the impurities can be reduced to mainly two things, ragaha and dveshaha. Okay? Virupu and virupu. Look at virupu, virupu are the malam. What is it? Our attachment and aversion. We can't help. That's why we don't need to condemn ourselves for being attached or having aversion. Understand now? We are helpless. We are just helplessly caught up by all those things. The Shastra only says, understand these are the aversion and attachment. Either I hate it or I cannot be without it. This sort of aversion and attachment, very natural for us. Very natural for any human mind. Like any nose can have running nose. So any mind can have what? These two things. Any head can have pick up headache. So these all things. So these are the two main things. These two can be what? This ragaha and dveshaha. Raga dveshaha. And Krishna says also in Bhagavad Gita, no? You see, raga dveshau, no? Atasya paripantina, he asya paripantinau, paripanti. Paripanti means it obstructs. Raga dvesha always stand there obstructing your sarupam of fullness, you know, from being manifest. Therefore, tau hi asya na vasham na agachet. Be careful, okay? Don't go near raga dvesha. And that means what? We are helpless here. Raga dveshas are there. And raga dvesha alone, like what? Like multiplies like amoeba, and then become what all other impurities are, nothing but the converted form of raga and dvesha. And we can also say kama krodha, etc. Then, you know, madam matsaryam, we can improve. Again, you can go on and on. What is jealousy? What is hatred? What is all other things come under what? Can be reduced to two things, raga and dvesha. This ragaha and dveshaha are neutralized. No, then they can be resolved. I tell you, then all other impurities will become removed. Understand now, you don't need to really undo them. You don't need to undo anything. How to neutralize? How to get rid of this raga dvesha? What is the medicine for that? How can I get rid of this? No? Anything which causes discomfort is disease, I told you. Anything which doesn't allow you, disturbs your easiness, is disease. So raga, this also is what now? Sort of, no? How, what is the medicine I have? Nothing, not overnight business. Long dosage, okay? How long should I have? Long course of medication. What is that? Living a life of karma yoga, which involves proper attitude in actions, which is proper attitude in accepting the results, proper attitude in looking at the situations, and also always being conscious of dharma, living a dharma-governed life, karma yogaha. That is why he said, chitta shodhakam mukti sadhakam. To discover the mukti which is already there, you need to have the first obstruction has to be removed. You just remove the obstruction. You don't need to create anything. You don't need to get anything. It's already there. Understand? This is malatyagaha, karma yogena. Understand? And next is vikshepaha. What can I do for this vikshepa? No, agitation. So karma yoga, living a life of karma yoga takes care of this removal of impurities. But this distraction of mind, mental distraction, agitation, I'm not able to concentrate. My God, whenever I sit for japa, the mind goes somewhere. I want to do this, mind goes somewhere. And always, most of the times, by Bhagavan's grace, some punyam life is going. Always, not mind is not in one thing, something. Always it goes here and there, over and there. This is such a problem, isn't it? That is why upasanam. What is that now? Upasanam. See, he also said, isn't it? First he talked about karma yoga, Ramana, then upasanam. Upasanam is what? Upasanam is actually manasam karma. Upasanam means placing the mind near the Lord is upasanam, which means manasam karma, a mental activity which is meditation. Isn't it? But meditation is always a mental activity. In meditation, there's no body or speech are involved. But, listen, as a karma yogi, Brahmana says, you're always a devotee, isn't it? A karma yogi, who's a karma yogi? Is a jigyasu bhaktaha. A karma yogi is not an artha bhaktaha. The devotee who worships and prays to Bhagavan only when he is in some trouble. He always a bhakta. Understand? Karma yogi is not an arthi bhaktaha. Only he doesn't worship and pray to Bhagavan only for artha and kama. To acquire what he wants and also to protect what he has already acquired. He is not arthi bhaktaha, okay? But he is a real devotee, a jigyasu bhaktaha. He is not simply a worshipper and the one who is praying to the Lord. He is the one who wants to know who the Lord is, what the truth is. Because knowing what the truth is, knowing what the reality is, knowing what fullness is, knowing who Bhagavan is, knowing what I am, who I am, they're all one and the same. They're not two different things. For this person is committed to the knowledge of the truth. He is a karma yogi. Therefore, he is a jigyasa bhaktaha, real devotee. Therefore, whatever he does is what? He to live this life. Why is he living this life? To ultimately to discover the truth. Therefore, his life is for what now? When is he not a devotee? Tell me. When is he a devotee? When he is not a devotee? Why? The whole life, all that he does, is doing for the sake of living this life. He is living this life just for the sake of discovering the truth. So he is very clear about the purpose of living this life. Therefore, there is no time a karma yogi is not a devotee. He is always a bhaktaha. But Ramana says, even though upasanam literally means manasam karma, meditation, a mental activity, but if the karma yogi, who is always nitya bhaktaha, ever devotee, just plays only the role of a devotee, and then, even in playing a role of a devotee, even if he does physical karma, kaikam karma or vachikam karma, even then, that is as good as meditation. Is it clear now? He really takes this concept of worship worship actually to such a great height. Ramana really does it. No? That's why he says, Kaya Vagmana Karya Muttamam. Notice that upasana literally means what? Meditation. What is meditation? Purely mental activity. Mental activity means what? Then it doesn't involve physical and oral activities. But here we say puja is what? Kaya vangmana kari muttamam. Why puja, worship or japaha, which involves physical and oral activities, are also said to be upasana? Because even though the physical body is involved, physically you are involved in puja, orally also, oral activity also is involved there, but still there the focus of attention in your action is only the Lord. Isn't it? Therefore, upasanam puja, physical activity, just the mere puja, playing merely a role of a devotee, then just doing the puja, which is just a physical activity, involves physical and oral activities also, are as good as upasanam. He said that. Then, that also helps what? This way, worshipping the Lord, performing any puja, with trying to be, making our constant effort to be focused there, or doing a japam also, slowly will help a person to get rid of vikshepa. Is it clear now? Vikshepaha. And same Ramana Maharshi again, he says, initially it is better to do even physical activity upasanam in the form involving physical, oral activities. But he says, japaha is better. What is that? Doing some japaha, repeating one mantra, instead of chanting too many names of the Lord. This is better than that oral activity. But what is japaha is better than stavaha, Remember the meaning, as I told you already? Yes. And now, even this japa also, it's always better to say japa softly than saying it aloud. And then he said, much easier is what? Much better is what? What is more efficacious, more effective is just doing the japa mentally. Manasa japaha is as good as upasana. What is it now? Dhyanam. Why? Because when you are chanting the name repeatedly, one name or one mantra or anything, and always a name or mantra has an end, has a beginning. Understand? And in between, I mean, the more focused, the more you try to practice and practice and practice and practice, trying to focus your attention there. Initially, my attention will be distracted, but as you go and slowly, slowly, in between, nama alone is the object of your perception, object there. Attention of the mind, name. Attention of the mind, name. In between attention of the mind, okay, in between two names, just the awareness. That silence is what? The surupma of consciousness. That is how there is a possibility of, in between, for a fraction of, a second, you can just be with that thing. You can, it also helps you, serves as meditation. And he said, better than that, manasa japaha is what? Actual meditation. There is upasanam. It's called saguna brahma manasa vyaparaha meditation. Is it clear now? So meditating upon a given form or name, whereas this is not virala chintanam, but a sarala chintanam. Understand now, a meditation, what happens now? Even the japaha, even manasa japaha, which serves as meditation, becomes what? Sorry, interrupted meditation, whereas actual meditation becomes uninterrupted meditation, because the flow of thoughts will be uninterrupted. Therefore, is it clear now? Therefore, that is sarala chintanam, is like a flow of the stream, or it is like the flow of ghee into the Agnikundam. Therefore, that is much more effective. He said, meditation is better. Remember, because this meditation is for neutralizing, for removing the obstruction in the form of vikshepaha, the agitation. Therefore, is it clear now? And we go to the next. What is third obstruction? Avaranam. It's the third obstruction. Avaranam. See, avaranam, when you say necklace and chain, avaranam means ignorance. Understand? Okay? Therefore, avaranam is different, isn't it? Avaranam. Avaranam. See, in fact, it is a very interesting word, okay? Vru means to choose. And it's a root, and vrunoti is the verb, chooses. That is why varaha means choice. Vrunoti chooses, varaha, choice. Suppose a girl, if the boy is of her own choice, swayam varaha. The girl chooses somebody, okay? She vrunoti. Then it's what? No. Swayamvara. Swayamvaraham, swayam vrunoti. Father only brings 10 men. Okay, come on, Sita, look at this. Who do you like? And she just looks at all of them. Okay, Rama. Okay, it's her choice. Look at this. All the men go, because how would they would have felt? I really feel upset. No? Others who have not chosen would have been so, hurt. And it became, there was vengeance, and then they go, and then try to kidnap, and then this hero has to, and he has to prove, the one who's chosen has to prove his heroism also, no? Has to go heroic, how great hero he is. Anyway, so vara, okay? But here, not that varaha, this is avaranam, avrunoti. See, in Sanskritam, you add one prefix, gachati. Agachati means what? Comes. So add a, okay? Now we say harati. Harati snatches. Aharati puts in. That's why ahara. One prefix always changes. Aharaha. okay, pariharaha, viharaha. You just add one prefix, changes the meaning of the roofs. Understand? Such a beautiful. So here also, vrunoti, avrunoti. Why I'm saying vrunoti? Because to teach you one more Sanskrit verb. That's why I'm teaching. In language class, slowly I can teach you, gacchati. Vrunomi, I choose. Vrunomi, I choose. Isn't it? Vrunoti chooses. Avrunomi covers. Isn't it? I cover. Avrunoti means cover. So what is the noun form of avaranam? Listen, varanam, choosing. Avaranam, covering. Or cover. The gerund becomes a noun, isn't it? Cover. Cover. So here, avaranam is the what now? Third obstacle. If I say, look at this. Now, vastrena, look at this. Vastrena, phone, avrunoti. Understand? Avrunoti. Swamini covers the phone with the cloth. Was avrunoti. Like, it's called avaranam. Cover. Now, here also, fullness has a cover. Now, what is the cover which covering the fullness? Ajnanam. What is the avaranam? Ajnanam is the avaranam. Ignorance is the cover. There's no other cover. So, now you have to do what? To discover, to remove the cover, to uncover. Understand? What is that you need to do? Knowledge. Isn't it? Knowledge is what? Discovering is what? Knowledge. Discovering itself is knowing. But how to discover it? That you have to ask. How to discover? First you have understood all three. Na, karma yoga, then upasana. That is why Veda also is what now? Because to take long, I told you long course. You have need a long course. That's why karma kanda. It prescribes karma yoga. Upasana kanda prescribes meditation. Understand? And jnana kanda of the Veda prescribes what? Knowledge. Ne? Knowledge means what? Again, Upanishads has what? The jnana kandaha. So, karma kanda of the Veda has the solution for the removal of first obstruction called impurity. The second part of the Veda, Upasana kanda, has the solution for the removing the second obstruction called Vikshepaha. The last part, thinnest portion of the Veda, has the solution for finest obstacle. Understand? No. So, Upajnana Kandaha, Veda Antashastram, final part of the Veda, concrete part of the Veda, which is called Jnana Kandaha, consisting of Upanishads, all the Upanishads together, become for what now? Really, they become, have the solution, jnanam, knowledge, for removing this obstacle in the form of avaranam.
What do you say the second chapter was? Huh? Name of the second upasana chapter?
Kanda. Upasana kandaha.
So, first class we have from
you. Yeah. No, because I wanted to, here I want to give the connection. Because you will remember all these things, you won't forget. Because I want to sum up the whole thing. Why I had to tell you today this much, always the word upasanam means meditation. But I also told in the class what puja is upasanam, which is not actually the mental activity, which involves physical and oral activity. But in our culture, before the meditation, look at this, before meditation, something need to do, physical activity also can be made in meditation, can serve the purpose of meditation. Even though it is not actual meditation, the physical activity done in the form of worship, puja, or singing, oral activity, the physical activity, but done with proper understanding, with focused attention, when you pray fervently, also has now sort of, it serves the purpose of meditation. What? It also helps you to get rid of vikshepa. That is why we tell, sing bhajan, chant, and all those things we tell initially, but not mechanically. There again, if you don't understand the connection, that is why to do anything with total attention, more attentively, to more perfectly, and to make it more effective and more contributive. No, in fact, you should know the purpose. That is why we should know the relevance of singing bhajans or even reciting anything, doing physical puja, going to the temple, anything show the relevance. Otherwise, it becomes meaningless, mechanically done and boring thing, boredom. Sitting in people feel so bored, sitting in temple for 4 hours of pujas, they get very restless. Eppada pola, what time they solve the prasadam? Prasadam. I myself know, okay, what time is the prasadam? 1 o'clock, we will go 1 o'clock. Some boys tell in East Ham, okay, we go to 1 o'clock. Why prasadam is today 1 o'clock only? So that is what it becomes. So why? Because that sort of thing you have to be careful. That's why you have to understand. See, you once you know the value of what you're doing, you'll be attentive. See, nobody needs to tell you to be attentive, to do it perfectly, to do it well, do it carefully. Nobody needs to tell you. Once you know the value of whatever you are doing, once you know the value of how you should be doing it, no, is what we. That's why it's very. That's why spiritual end being spiritual vision must be very clear. Then you don't need no supervisors. Okay, somebody has to go and say, you do it well, do it well, no, do it properly. No, you just do your duty. Do your the best. That's what is doing the best. No, so here also here this all this karma because physical activity also when the worship physically done or orally chanted things also should serve the purpose of no the mental activity because in hell in getting rid of or in solving this problem of distraction problem in the form of vikshepa. Then that's why I had to tell you all this much again today. Now. We say here, Jnana Kandaha has this. Okay, Upanishads, this all our this things, they have, again, knowledge is there. If knowledge is there, can you just go and take the knowledge, read the Upanishad, get the knowledge? No, because you may have the tins and tins of milk in your house, but there is very much the butter in the milk, but you should know the method of extraction. Understand now? If you don't know how to extract the butter, from the buttermilk, we all know very well. In India, we know very well how to make it to the yogurt, how to churn it, how to get the butter out of it. We know very well. Okay, till the last bit is there, we'll be churning and churning and churning. We'll take it. We know how to get it. So this method of extraction one should know. And one who knows the method of extracting the truth, okay, the knowledge from Upanishads is the guru. That is why it's very important to go to the teacher and to study and understand also. But before you go to the teacher to gain the jnanam, understand, Upanishads are the sources of knowledge. There's nowhere you can get it definitely. No way of stumbling upon the truth by yourself. Definitely Upanishads serve as means of knowledge. But you need to go to the person who can help you, who knows the method of extracting that and giving it to you. No? So you can show you that. Therefore, that's a guru important, but it will work, it will be effective only if other gross obstruction and subtle obstructions are removed. Understand? That is why Upanishad study should also be what? Simultaneously take care of other two also. There are many people come and tell Swamiji, I want it. I know, I'm so interested. First few talks they listen, they get so excited. I want immediately listen and come and sit here. Swamiji, please don't come. Listen something, go back and do some more work for some more time. It's all excitement, no? We're so emotional, we don't decide things properly. It's like, get back. Otherwise, people come and tell like that. So here, what I'm saying, this is called this jnana. Avaranam is the third thing, and that has to be removed. That is jnanam. And what do the Upanishads teach you? This is what Upanishads teach you. Come on. The truth is, Upanishads teach you, tattvam asi, ekaman. The sought is the seeker. Understand now? The seeker is in fact none other than the sought. The seeker is seeking so many things. Stop seeking other things. Just see yourself. What now? You have got sought. Understand now? That is why tatvam asi, that truth, that Lord, that fullness, that stands for the Ishvara, the Lord. Lord or God, there's no God or Lord other than the truth. Okay? Paramburu allada irivan veru kadaiyadu. Paramparul is the only Raven. Okay? Where is the God and Lord sitting other than the truth? The Lord is the truth, God is the truth. And the truth is fullness. Understand? Now? Truth is pure knowledge is fullness. Are all synonyms. Lord, God, truth, fullness, pure knowledge are all synonyms. They're not different things. Therefore, that truth, that fullness, that Lord is in fact you. You means what? It's exactly the me, substance of the substantive I. Understand? Therefore, you know that is the truth. That's a fact. You know. And we teach us. And you understand that. Therefore, you are. Then you negate the objects of knowledge as the non-self. You don't say, oh, body is not the self. That's also wrong. If self is not the body, I am not the body. It is not for saying that. Because if you say that means we are different from our what? How are you going to account for this body? Then again, there is no vision of non-duality. Understand? We have to be very careful. Understand? The I is equal to not the body. That's all you have to say. It's not to simply say. It's not, oh, I'm not the body. Not to talk about it. Definitely, because body is very much the self. Because wave is water. Therefore, you can never say. Then you have to establish oneness of reality, non-duality of reality. That is why this subject-object analysis is only to help you to distinguish, to know the self distinctly. Understand now? It is like you are seeing the light. In the presence of light, you are seeing so many opaque objects which do not shine by themselves. But here, our focus is always on the illumined objects. We never see the light in the presence of which the illumined objects come to light. If you can see, if your focus of attention is in fact can be shifted from just the illumined object to the illumining light, then you can never miss the invariably present illumining light, okay, in all the illumined objects. And not only that, illumined objects are many, they are different, differences are all possible with reference to the illumined objects, but what difference is there with reference to the illumining light? It is one indivisible partless whole. What part does it have? Understand now. Similarly here also, this awareness, in fact, is the meaning of the pure awareness, the pure knowledge, is the, in fact, meaning of the word Tvam. I, in fact, that is what is, that is, how do you arrive at it? Not as the known. Never it is available for objectification. Never is it understood as an object of knowledge. That is why known, no object. Therefore, self is different and distinct, not the known. Therefore, you have to go for the purest essence. Understand? No, the purest stuff, subtlest stuff you have to go. What about every thought? Jealousy, the hatred, all these things you remove. Am. Why am? Because that is the thought. If one that thought is not there, other thoughts cannot be there. If the knowledge am is not there, other thoughts cannot be there. That is why we say the knowledge am is the dead end of the mind. As I've been telling from beginning. Understand now? Once you go there, okay, what is then up after the thought, what is there? That is what is what? Seeing where the wave ends, there begins H2O. Isn't it? So where the mind ends, there begins consciousness. How will you understand where exactly the mind ends? Every thought is mind, isn't it? All thoughts are together are mind. How will you distinguish? How will you separate? When you say where the wave ends, there begins H2O means, where the wave, there's no real ending of the wave. There's no real beginning of the H2O. It's just a question, isn't it? Similarly, where the mind ends, there begins the awareness means what? There's no big end of mind, there's no beginning of awareness. In fact, just for our understanding, for what we have to say this, all the thoughts constitute the mind, but every thought, any other thought is possible only if there is thought, am. The am is also thought, isn't it? If the knowledge am is there, other thoughts are possible. Therefore, we arrive at the conclusion what? There is no other thought can be there when am is not there. Okay, the word am we can understand. So where is, that's why am, where is this am? When you find out where this am, this thought exists. So finding out the locus, the existence of the thought am is as good as finding out the existence of all other thoughts, isn't it? So finding out the existence of am is finding out what the word I means. Discovering the locus, the existence of am thought is what? Discovering the substance of the substantive I. Irikkiren endra arivu engi irikkirathu. When you find out naan, okay, you can't say ennil. Naanil irikkirathu. Understand now? Not ennil. It is naanil. Understand? You have to say that what you discover. That's why he look at this now. Can you understand what I'm saying? Then you understand. Then you say that truth, what you discover as the truth of am, is the meaning, substance of the meaning of the word I. Because what is there afterwards? Am is not there. There is something because of which am being not there is known. That is what is pure awareness. Pure awareness alone is there. Understand now? That pure awareness is what? The substance of the substantive I. And the pure awareness is what? One indivisible partless whole. Therefore what? The truth of everything. Truth of the only truth that pervades everything here. And that is why we say self of everything. The self. Okay, Atma means only one Atma. Understand now? That is what is absolute self. Atma is the absolute self. Paramatma. There is no other Atma. Understand now? Atma means Paramatma only. Absolute self. And that is the only truth. And the fullness is what? That, so Atma, Swarupam is fullness in fact. When you, this is what, seeing the meaning of this sentence, Tattvamasi. So understand with the help of the teacher, then, no, that is why the word Upanishad, I had to tell you in this context, Upa implies approaching the teacher. Why? The one who knows the method of extracting knowledge from Upanishads, isn't it? One who knows it. Therefore, you approach the teacher. Upa stands for approaching the teacher and listening to the teacher. And once you listen to the teacher, and afterwards, you inquire into the meaning of these Upanishadic statements, having understood, not by yourself. Okay, you can't do it. You don't know what to inquire into. How will you enquire into the meaning of the words if you do not know the meaning of the words? Understand the meaning of the words from the teacher. Go near the teacher, listen to the teacher, understand, then you enquire into the meaning of these words. Then what happens? After listening also, there will be problem. There won't be nischaya jnanam, will not be there. The ni stands for nischaya jnanam. Firm, doubt-free, urdhyana arivu. Paramurali patri urdhyana arivu, but dhrida jnanam. Firm knowledge, nischaya jnanam. Upa stands for approaching the teacher and listening to the teacher. And ni stands for definite knowledge. Definite means what? The two things, okay? The vivekas. I understood some doubt is there, some vagueness is there, some... That will be that Upanishad says that. Very word Upanishad tells you the meaning. Understand? That is why Upa only has happened now. So we have to take question of Nishchay Jnanam still has to, you know, that's why we have to have some patience also. And he said because the two things, again two things. Samshayaha. Now what is Samshayaha? Doubt. Lots of doubts will be there. And that's called Samshayaha. And then even Viparyayaha. No, what? Viparyaya is the worst thing. No, what is Viparyaya? Unhealthy thinking habit. Okay? It's not that you want to have it. Okay? You're helpless. Shastram does not find fault with this at all. You're fine. You're okay. You're okay. These are the problems. If you, the medicine, take this medicine, you'll be alright. Okay? Like that Shastram, like a doctor, it talks to you nicely. You know that? Don't worry, you are fine. No, you are sick, you are bad, you are wrong. No, this is a problem, okay? You take this, you will be fine. Like that, Viparyayaha is there. What is Viparyayaha? You are listening. Listen to the Shastram, gone to the teacher, listening, Upa. That upa implies that, you know, approaching the teacher, upasadhanam, guru upasadhanam, upasattihi. But still doubts are there. Then when you reflect on what you have heard and understood and retained, the slowly the doubts will resolve. Not only doubts will resolve, but again, you constantly focus your attention on what you have understood. First you enquire into the meaning of the what the teacher, meaning of these Vedantic statements as unfolded by the teacher, not the way you want to. That will resolve your doubts. That will resolve your doubts. Once the doubts are resolved, then you know what the truth is. But attention, still another problem is there. So samshaya will be resolved by what? Mananam. Understand, no? Mananam. Upa stands for approaching the teacher and shravanam. Then manana, no? The first, the samshayaha, mananam will resolve the samshayaha. Then what else you to do now next? This unhealthy thinking habit, unhealthy emotional habits, that has to be taken care of. See, we all understand very well Vedanta. Once we go out again, we have our own things. No? That is not the problem. It's the problem of the mind. We don't need to worry about it. We have to understand the problem first. See, if you know you have a problem, at least you can do something to do the problem. So, undo the problem. We have the problem not knowing that we have the problem. Isn't it? That is the problem now. Therefore, here, Shastram teaches viparyayaha. Now, what is unhealthy habits. And nididhyasanam is the astram, okay? With which you can tackle this unhealthy emotional habits, thinking habits. So, samshayaha and viparyayaha. Doubt and unhealthy thinking habits. These two can be, if these two are taken care of, then you have what? You can't miss nischaya jnanam, definite knowledge. That's what implied by the prefix ni, upa and ni. And sad stands for, sad is equal to, not satyam there, sad means avasadhanam, visharanam. Avasadhanam means putting an end, okay? End. Destroy. Therefore, Upanishad means the knowledge of the truth which destroys the ignorance and the ignorance born. Okay, the definite knowledge which destroys the ignorance and the ignorance born, samsara. Is it clear now? So, what should we do for this avaranam? I have come to now. So, avarana nivrittihi, to remove this avaranam, for the removal of avaranam, obstacle of avaranam, jnanam is the only solution. For jnanam, what jnanam we want? We are doing shravanam, we have to mananam, understand what now? We have to do nididhyasanam, nidid contemplation. So, Ramana said, in his next last verse, he emphasized the importance of contemplation. Why? Because we've been listening to lots of things, no? Even one text is enough to understand the subject matter. It should happen immediately. It doesn't happen. One text is enough. Why too many texts? Patatta Bodha is enough, isn't it? Too many Upanishads also don't need to go. Oh, so Upanishad Saram. Essence, put all the Upanishads together in one mixie and grind it and give a nice juice here. Tattva Bodha. That's enough actually. We don't need Upanishads. Why? Because you need study text after text, same thing. Because we have to do what now? Work with this viparyaya. Understand now? Viparyaya has to be taken care of. That is why we need to, and also samshayaha and viparyayaha. These both have to be taken care of. That is why we need text after text. Same thing we'll be studying again and again and again. But at different levels. You can see how slowly dosage is increased. You can see that. Or how your clarity is enhancing. You will see that definitely. So samshaya, viparyaya, should go. Understand now? Then you will have what? You can't miss the vision. That's why as already fullness is there. It has to be, happiness is there, you can't create it. In fact, the obstacle which prevents this fullness from being manifest only has to be removed. Obstacle has to be removed. That is why now we have this, the finest thing we said now, avaranam. For this, nididhyasanam. The avaranam now, ajnana has to go. For which what now? We say nididhyasanam because, again, why ajnanam is still there? In spite of having understood, in spite of listening, what is that which really prevents? No, because still we have the problem of these unhealthy emotional habits. Unhealthy thinking habits are still there. They have to be corrected. Nidhyasanam. Therefore, Ramana Maharshi last, he said, even better than meditation is what? Nididhyasanam, contemplation. What is contemplation? All continuously, constantly dwelling upon the swarupam of the reality, understand, okay, the focus and attention, the nature of reality, which has been understood as the very self, as the meaning of the word I. That's Nididhyasanam, he said. Now, in that Nididhyasanam, of course, still you are in the process of Nididhyasanam, often, no, you understand one thing. What do you understand? All that is there is Ishwaraha. All that is there is only Bhagavan. Parampurul allada irandavadu oru porul illai. No, you can say, no, there are two purul. No, the two things. Two things are there. Water is there, wave is there. Not only two things, no, water is there, ocean is there. There are two things, Swamini, there are two things. How can you say that only one thing? Understand now? Not only two things, Swamini, when we talk about the two, water and ocean, we have to talk about what now? Not only duality, plurality. What is that? No, again, multiplicity. Oh my God, look at how many coming again, going, coming and coming and coming. So, multiplicity. Not only the big and well, diversity. My God, I had to talk about all these things. Duality comes into the picture. Multiplicity, plurality, diversity, differences. Everything becomes very much real for us. You say, Shankara says, like, you know, Ramanish is going to say that now. Come on, we do not deny this, all these differences. Perception, because you see all of them differences, very much your perception is not denied. Your perception is accepted. In your perception is right. In your perception, what you see, the difference, all the differences you perceive, now you see, all this different duality, all this are all true. But can you say there are two things here? Irandu porkal, are there two things? Yes. No? Two things means what? Mic, table. The two different things, isn't it? Two different, one must be different from the other. So water, understand now, is different from the waves, no doubt. But can you say wave is different from water? Wave is water. Why? Because if you say wave is different from water, then we remove the water, then the wave should still should be there. If you say, still wave is different. If you say, okay, if wave is different, take the water away, then will there be wave? No, then that is what is said to be, there are not two different things. One exists seemingly, understand now, one exists absolutely. So absolute, what is that which exists absolutely is what? Paramarthikam satyam. What is that empirically exists? No, what is that apparently? No, exists is what? Vyavaharikam satyam. It's okay. One is transactional, one is absolute. Therefore, empirical reality is Vyavaharika Satyam. Absolute reality is Paramarthikam Satyam. Therefore, Vyavaharika Satyam is Mithya, Paramarthika Satyam is Satyam. So, this Vyavaharika Satyam does not have independent existence. There is no such thing called, it's not absolutely real. what is vyavaharika satta, empirically real, is not absolutely real. It is not something non-existent. Understand now? Therefore, what is real is the water alone. Satyam is water. Therefore, it is not a second, it is not one thing, one only truth. No. A non-dual. The non-dual reality with reference to ocean is water. H2O. Similarly, this whole Jagat, all that you see here, that is why when you say Jagat means it's very difficult to comprehend. What is Jagat? How much is the Jagat? How big is the Jagat? It is comprehensible? Impossible, isn't it? Not even comprehensible for us. Our mind is too small to understand too big a vast universe here. But still, all this Shastram says very clearly, know the meaning of the word I. Understand that meaning of the word I. Substance of the substantive I is the self of everything. Substance of the substantive universe also. Once you understand, you have understood the whole Jagat is Ishvara. You don't need to go and search for everything. You can just say, Rupanishad says, one Acharya says, take one pot, see it is clay. You can see all the pots are clay. Don't need to go and see each and every pot, okay? All the pots are clay. Without seeing, you can say, if you see, one pot is clay. Similarly, whole Jagat is what? The essentially, all the entire Jagat is nothing but pure Jnanam, which is fullness. Understand now? Then, in that vision, then you don't say, I know the Lord. That is when, yesterday you were mentioning me about, in Keno, if you say, I know the Lord, Upanishad says, come on, you don't know. You don't know. No, why? Why you don't know? I know the Lord means you are a subject. You know is the verb. God becomes an object of knowledge. That means you do not know. If you say, I am the Lord, you know. Then you don't say that, okay? He said, that is why in Tamil is a kandavar vindilar, okay? Why? Because you don't need to say then. Understand now? Because I am the Lord, you understand that. Because consciousness doesn't speak, isn't it? Poor consciousness. Imagine, consciousness starts speaking, what will happen? Understand? That is why, I am the Lord, you understand. And you don't say, I know the Lord. So, Upanishad says this. One who says, I know, knows not. Understand now? Because, I know the Lord, I am the Lord. And this is a fact. One who knows, so this is the vision of non-duality. What is vision of non-duality? You can say, I am the Lord, when you say, the meaning of the word I is not the body mentions complex, is meaning of the word I is equal to awareness. Then you can say, not only I am the Lord, all that is here is I. And also you can say that. Aham idam sarvam. Oh, you can see it now. Idam sarvam. Aham idam sarvam. What is that now? Aham idam sarvam. Sarvam Brahma. Look at this. Aham Brahma. Aham Brahma. I the self am the awareness. Okay? What is Jagat? Jagat is Brahman. Therefore what? Aham idam sarvam. A is equal to B, B is equal to C, C is equal to D, therefore A is equal to D. You can easily say, isn't it? Similarly, Aham Brahma, Idam Sarvam Brahma. Therefore, Aham Idam Sarvam. Aham Idam Sarvam. This is what vision of non-duality. And when you say Aham Idam Sarvam, you don't simply say Aham Idam Sarvam. No. Not Aham Idam Sarvam. That is not that. The identity is very clear. Where is Ahankara? Where is I? When you say discovering, there's no I. There's no wave outside of water. This is what you discover. When you say I, there's no knower outside of awareness. There's no knowledge outside of awareness. There's no known outside of awareness. This is what is resolving all the three in one. Okay, Triputi. The Triputi is what now? The knower, there's no knower other than awareness means you have resolved I, the subject in awareness. There is no knowledge outside of awareness means what? Knowledge is resolved in awareness. There is no object of knowledge known outside of awareness means what? Everything is Ishvara. You can say I am the Lord, or you can just say all that is there is only Ishvara. Brahma Mukate. Understand? Para Brahma Mukate. Okate. Okate we say one. Okate we say what? Only. One and only. That is Telugu one I can teach you. Okay. Okate means one. Only when you say okate, when you say only. Understand, whole jagat is only Ishvara. This what is what? Vision of non-duality. And in this vision, ahankara has been resolved. Understand now? Ahankara is resolved. Resolving means what? Understanding this. Everything is mithya. Understanding other than awareness. Everything else is mithya. And mithya does not exist outside of satyam. This understanding is what? Resolving the whole. Because always the question comes, what is resolving, Swamini? What do you mean by resolving? In terms of knowledge, you resolve it. Isn't it? This is what is resolving. Then this Advaita Drishtihi is what? Paramarthika Drishtihi. This vision of non-duality is what in fact says, one who has this vision is the best of the devotees. Ramana says here, what is the Uttama Bhakti here? Come to the point now. What is Uttama Bhaktihi? Sreshtatama Bhaktihi, you know? What is the best of devotion? Who is the highest, what is the highest form of devotion? One who wants to know is the real devotee, I said. But not, okay? And one who has known what? Not the Lord. One who has known the fact that I am the Lord. Understand now? Not the one who has known the Lord. I can say here, one who has understood the fact, I, the Self, am the pure awareness, the Lord. One who has known this fact is what? In fact, the Uttama Bhaktaha. Understand now? Is what is? Uttama Bhaktihi. We think, now if we say, why Uttama Bhaktihi? This person has surrendered absolutely. This man of vision of non-duality has surrendered totally. What? Resolving ahankara as Ishvara. There's nothing sits outside of consciousness, okay, awareness, the truth. This is not simply talking here. Really, Nidhyasanam, he has discovered this. Okay, he ascertained this fact, this knowledge. No, one, that person is what actually... Where am I? Who is this I? Who is this I? Where is this I sitting? Outside of Ishvara, no? Then you resolve this what is absolute Sharanagati. Look at this. The best of devotion, the highest form of devotion is what? Highest devotion is in fact having this vision of non-duality and then wherein one's ahankara is completely resolved. That is why we always say ahankara is the worst of the demons. Understand now? Which really causes all the problem. Who is a demon? Rakshasa. No, there is no rakshasa other than ahankara. Ahankara is there. And then the I notion. All these notions are what now we have. Mind is full of notions. Look at how many notions are there. I am, if you say, no problem. And anything added to I am is what? Notions. Understand now? Mind is, you know, everyone, all whole life is lived with the notions. About the self first. And now we don't stop with that, no? And we have notions about others also. Because our perception is also what? View. How you view other person's behavior. What? Because natural, the mind, poor mind cannot help, helpless. It has to project something or the other. Okay? We see something, we also have notions about others, beings, things, people, situations, jagat. Okay? Jagat dvishaya bhavaha. Understand now? Swaki vishya, atma vishya bhavaha. Tannai patri ennangal. Adhtari patri ennangal. Jagat vishya. And then other, all the notions about the world. Also notions about the Lord. We know the Lord. We don't even know who the Lord is. But we also have notions about the Lord. And that is why we always demanding, we worship and keep on praying, and some difficulty comes. What happened? I've been worshipping for so many years, but this Bhagavan didn't come and help me, and then so let me give up. I'm not going to do any more japa hereafter. I'm not going to go to temples. People come and tell me. Some death happened, immediately that person was so angry, threw away all Rama's nice tanjore paintings. I went and picked up all the paintings, because nice picture. I said, my God, Rama's picture, why are you throwing it out? Such a beautiful picture, it looks so beautiful, nice there. No, I can't stand this anymore. What is the use of worshipping the Lord? My mother is dead now. So what? Bhagavan is very, that's why mother is dead. Thank God, he wanted her to rest. Give some rest, not terrible. What will happen? Sitting all the time, slogging. Some holiday you need, long holiday. Come back again, a new body, fresh, wearing new dress, buying new dress. So here, now what I'm saying, this is what is happening here, because our bhakti is like that. So Ramana says, okay, and some people are also frightened. Because I always, yesterday she was saying about even Tyaraja Swami initially, no, I don't want to have Advaita Krishna view. Rama, you be there as a Kodanda Pani, Yelamega Shyamala Varna, no Dasharatha Putra, Sita Pati, I want to see you from distance with your whole Parivara. Sita Rama, okay, Hanuman, worshipping you, Bharata, this we have, this that Kambar says, Ariyanai Anumantanga. That we know, he says, he did a Pattabhishekam. That Pattabhishekam I want to see. I don't want to see you as, because I have that, I don't like that. Even Taraja initially says, then he changes his buddhi later on. Same Taraja later on changes. No. That is all that is, there is Rama. There is nothing other which is not Rama here. Everything is Rama only. Wherever I see only Rama. In Bhartiyar sings, Kakeshwaringa Nandalala, Kainam Tondade Nandalala, wherever I see only Nandalala. That means what? Everything is Paramatma. There is no second thing. This is vision of non-duality. In this vision, why it's highest form of bhakti? Why you say here, this is a culmination of bhakti. Bhakti cannot do anything anymore. Why? Because bhakti means love. Understand now? Bhakti is the culmination of bhakti. In discovering the truth as the self, the truth of the whole jagat becomes known, discovered. The truth of the entire jagat becomes discovered. Okay? The whole jagat being the manifestation, the only truth becomes discovered. There is all that is, there is only vastu, there is no second, because you understand the satyam and mithya, there are not two satyams are not there. Understand now, because mithya has no independent existence, or only satyam. Mithya is not a second vastu, second substance. Mithya is something, manifestation of the same satyam. Satyam is only satyam only. Therefore, this has to become very clear. In this vision, what happens? Ahankara resolved means fullness. What is there is only fullness. What happened to fullness now? Oh, Viparyaya also has gone. Samshaya gone, Viparyaya gone, Nischaya Jnanam. In vision, an ascertain vision of the non-duality of reality. That is the highest form of bhakti. There you have discovered fullness. Once you have discovered fullness, what do you do? No, you revel in fullness. When you're reveling in fullness, what else do you want? I revel in fullness, but still I have some kurai. No. That means you are not reveling in fullness. Nirevil telekumbode konjam kurai mirikirad. No. That's not possible. No, it's like saying, I see only the Amma's house is full of light, but there's darkness inside. Hey, what is this? Because they cannot coexist. Okay? Viruddha dharmaha, things of two opposite nature cannot coexist. Darkness and light cannot, we can say darkness is there, light also is there. That is not impossible. Why? They are of opposite attribute, nature. Understand now, in the presence of one, other thing cannot be there. Where there is fullness, there is no kurai. Where nirevu, there is no kurai. Where there is kurai, definitely nirevu is still, unknown. That's all. And that's why that fullness, once it is discovered, it is there and everything is resolved there. That is the culmination of bhakti. That is why what you actually aspire is your love for Bhagavan, okay, is love for happiness. Love for happiness is love for the truth, love for the self, love for happiness. Therefore, Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. Whatever you love in this universe, that love is ultimately for love for oneself, which is fullness. Understand how? That is why there is no selfless love. Swamiji always says there is no such thing called selfless love, and there is possibility of, that is why there is no possibility of falling in love. We should always try to rise in love. Okay, we never try. That is why sometimes we mistake some emotional problem for love, and we fall and we say, I have fallen in love. Okay, then you never rise. You emotionally and get entangled, you pulled down and, you know, kept always what downtrodden means, what then, that's all, then you know, go down and get drowned, you start drowning there. There's no way of coming up and then rising at all. That is why here there is no such thing called a love. Your love is fullness. Understand now? Love is the self, love is fullness. That is why sometimes our act, reaching at our expression of fullness is love. There is no other way, love. Fullness is love, and expression of fullness is what? Love. That is why I told you sometime back in one of my classes, I explained this. In full, where there is fullness, there is what? No, there is no inadequacy. Where there is no inadequacy, understand now, there is no one, where is fullness, the person of fullness does not depend upon external situations or people or things for one's fullness. Therefore, it becomes what? No. He doesn't see any kurai anywhere. Okay, the person is not dependent on situations or people means, then doesn't need to find fault with people. Understand? Therefore, he doesn't need to, that's what non-fault finding, fullness is what? Expression of fullness is love, in fact. Non-fault finding, accommodation is love. That is possible only if you revel in fullness. Otherwise, we had to find out with people. Otherwise, we can't get things done. Isn't it? I'm saying really. Because there's a need. As long as inadequacy is there, needs are there, we had to do all those things. Once you don't find fault, you are a person of non-fault finding accommodation, then naturally everybody will like you. You become center of attraction. So that which attracts is what? Beauty. Therefore, love is fullness. Expression of fullness is love, and love is non-fault finding accommodation, and non-fault finding accommodation is what? Attraction. Attraction is love. Therefore, love is beauty. Okay? Attraction is beauty. Love is beauty, love is fullness. Therefore, it is the culmination of bhakti. Understand? There's no other ways. There's no. In fact, really speaking, love for any, Shastram says this, love for anything or anybody is love for the self. That is fullness. Nerevin meelrakra priyam. Okay? Because you want to be anything, no? Anything which helps you to be yourself, you want to be with that. That is why I always say, no, in this love, you don't see second thing. In fact, that is why bhakti, parama prema pravahaha is bhakti. There's one expression. What is bhakti? Parama prema pravahaha. The flow of love means what? Fullness. Expression of fullness is bhakti, love, in fact. This is what is bhakti, he says. And this is the highest, wherein this in here, what happened to you? You never merge with Bhagavan. Understand? You can never merge, never become one with Bhagavan, never unite with Bhagavan. இரண்டு அறக்கலத்தல். இன் தமிழ் வி ஹாவ் தமிழ் தமிழ் பீப்புள் கால் டாக் இஸ் இரண்டு அறக்கலத்தல். இரண்டாவது பர்சன் ஃப்ரம் த லார்ட் டு பிகம் கலத்திருக்கிறதுக்கு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ் கலக்கிறது என்ன சொன்ன கலத்தல் இஸ் நாட் அட் ஆல் பாசிபிள் நவ் யூ கேன் நெவர் மர்ஜ் அண்ட் பிகம் ஒன் இன் இக்னரன்ஸ் யூ ஆர் டிஃபரண்ட் அண்ட் ஃபார் அவே ஃப்ரம் த லார்ட் இன் நாலேஜ் யூ ஆர் ஆஸ் தோ ஃபியூசிங் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஹவ் As though the fusion takes place, really speaking, the mind being non-separate from the truth, awareness. Understand? I am being non-separate from awareness. I am enna udinginal parambarul elundal ennam. Understand now? That is why, if you discover that, what is that now? That is what is fusion. There is no fusion otherwise. Understand now? Therefore, this what is yoga. This what is what? Union. This what is, you know, இது வாட் பரமபதம் இது வாட் திருவடி சேருதல் there's no way of திருவடி பிடித்தேன் there's no other திருவடி பிடித்தல் This is the Advaita question. What is vision of non-duality is the culmination of bhakti and highest bhakti. Why? Because you have this is called absolute surrender. நானே இல்ல பகவானே எல்லாம் நீயேன்னு சொல்றப்ப என்னது தட் இஸ் வாட் அப்சல்யூட் சரண்டர் யூ கான்ட் சே திஸ் வாட் இஸ் கிவிங் ஒன் செல் டு பகவான் அண்ட் சார் நவ் கிவிங் ஆஃபரிங் ஒன் செல் டு பகவான் மீன்ஸ் வாட் ரிசால்விங் ஒன்ஸ் ஐடென்டிட்டி வித் டோட்டாலிட்டி இஸ் வாட் ஆஃபரிங் த செல்ஃப் டு பகவான் ரெக்கக்னைசிங் தி ஐடென்டிட்டி ரெக்கக்னைசிங் த ட்ரூத் நவ் Cognizing the truth, recognizing the truth, recognizing the identity. Understand now? Recognizing the swarupam, thereby resolving the identity, the totality. Resolving this ahankara in the awareness. There is no knower other than awareness. The awareness is in fact the meaning of the word I. This discovery is what in fact resolving on ahankara is what? Offering the self. To the Lord. Understand now, this is what is absolute surrender. You cannot offer anything anymore. What offering can you do to Bhagavan? Worship is complete. Worship has come to an end. Okay? It's a culmination of worship. What else can you pray for from Bhagavan? When you are reveling in fullness. Okay? Again, Bhagavan, you have blessed me with fullness. I have still one more thing to ask you. Can you pray for something? You can't pray anymore. So culmination of prayer, because you cannot pray for anything anymore. Bhagavan has given himself to you. Understand now? In knowing the truth, Bhagavan becomes given to you, you have been given to Bhagavan. This is what is fusion. When Bhagavan is given to you, unnaye kudu, kadita, prayer has come to an end. Ennaye kuduthukra, eduthuko, when you say, worship has come to an end. You cannot give yourself to Bhagavan. Bhagavan also cannot come near you because you are already Bhagavan. Okay? Tat tvam asi. That's why you see the meaning. You are already Bhagavan. Discovering this, all that is there is Ahamidam Sarvam. Or Sarvam Vishnumayam Jagat. All that is there is Ishvara. This vision of non-duality is what? The best of the devotion. Highest of the devotion, the culmination of bhakti, culmination of the worship, culmination of prayer, understand now, and there is jiva ishvara, bheda is not there, all that is there is ishvara, because jiva, everything mithya is what? Not a reality, isn't it? Mithya is satyam, you have resolved it. We say mithya is satyam, resolved is mithya is satyam means gone. And this is when you revel in fullness. Is it clear now? So here he says, now we'll go to the verse now. How to tell you this much to come to this verse? Hope I have time. Oh, thank God I have time. So he says, Bhavashunya sad bhavasusthitihi பாவசூன்ய சத் பாவசுஸ்திதி பாவனாபலாத் பக்திருத்தமா பாவனாபலாத் பக்திருத்தமா சோ ஹி சேஸ் பாவனாபலாத் பாவனாபலாத் சி பாவனா ஹியர் இஸ் காண்டெம்ப்ளேஷன் Okay, balat means balataha. See, by this, you have a strength. Contemplation is amazing strength for you. What is the balam here? What is the strength? What is that which helps you to neutralize your viparyaya, your this unhealthy emotional habits? That is why satsang is very important. The shastra, at least shastra class, keep on coming. It will help you manage your unhealthy thinking. That's why very important. We need that. We are helpless. It's like just a headache means just take one pill. So go to satsang. At least some thoughts, at least 2 hours of thoughts we can manage. Like that, we really, it's very good. That is why even, let's say, Sangeetam also. Something nice thing, any thought goes somewhere it starts building up. Okay? Unwanted thinking comes, just go for something. That's also habit, It's about being conscious, you're alert. You become more and more alert. What happens here? See, he is this bhavana balat. Now you have studied, understood, and you try to undersee the meaning of these Mahavakyams as unfolded by the teacher, and you are very clear. Again, the more and more and more you do, the doubts will be resolving. And also, along with the resolving of the doubt, what happens here? Samshaya goes, and also unhealthy thinking habits also slowly will be going. But Nidhyasanam helps you to ward off the viparyayaha. Understand now? And then, what is viparyayaha? That's why all these notions, look at this, all the notions you have about yourself, also what now? Becomes what? Makes your mind think, in an improper way. Improper way of thinking. Your notions you have about yourself, the notions you have about the world, the notions you have about the Lord also. Isn't it? Then all these notions are there. And all these erroneous notions, the notions you have about yourself will be resolving. And the more the notion, the perception, when the perception of the self becomes, getting corrected. Now, as the perception of the self goes, slowly, 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 the I notion rooted in the body, mind, and complex, it takes very long. Even though you know I is equal to awareness, but to shift the I from the body, mind, and complex, the I notion rooted in the body, mind, and complex, my God, konja janmama, how many janmas I've been living in the I notion. Listen to Bhagavad Upanishad class or some Vedanta class a few days, sometimes. You understand I is equal to awareness. Understand. But still, I notion is still there in the body, mind, is complex. Why? It's called habitual error. What is called? Habitual error. I told you once, I think, a Swamiji story. Remember this? Swamiji story I told you once? Elder? You haven't told you? Okay. The rich person, one beggar, Swamiji's story, okay? Swamiji tells you what is habitual error. Swamiji gives example. Now, in India, there are many temples, and in front of temples, people, whether they do dhanam or not, when they go to temple, some beggar asks, they will feel guilty not to give money. Therefore, they say, there are so many beggars sitting in front of the temples, because that is only time where we can really tackle the people. Any miser can become, it'll charitable. So, they go and line up. And then, so these people go, and like that, they sit. And one beggar, some who manages to collect some coins, buy some lottery ticket in India, and one lottery ticket makes him, suddenly he wins the lottery. A lottery ticket, next day, all photographers, all the people come. It's all Swamiji's own imagination story, okay? And he becomes an overnight millionaire. And it's in India, look at this, a beggar. And suddenly, overnight millionaire, overnight, the whole lifestyle changes, stand of life changes. And after 2 months or something, and he comes in a big car, the driver driving the car, and he comes with that, because sudden overnight rich man means, and he has to prove, no, he has 10 fingers, have 20 rings, and he comes there with a silk jubba and all that, and he comes, gets out of the car. Okay, the driver goes and opens the door, and this rich man, the beggar rich man, no more beggar, okay, the rich man, once upon a time, 22 months ago, was a beggar, begging bowl, dirty clothes, on the road. Now he is a rich man. Driver opening the car, and he walks to, and suddenly as he was walking towards the steps to get into the thing, all the people were waiting for him with the Purnakam to receive him, because he's a big donor also now. And suddenly, another person, an ordinary devotee, who came to the temple, because it was Saturday, he had some Sani Dosham. So some astrologer told him, come on, go make some Yellurundai and distribute in the temple, Sani Preeti, okay? So you will get rid of some Sani problem. So he told him that this man, the other man, simple devotee, brought some Yellurundai and he was distributing to all the beggars. This rich man, okay, he saw the other person distributing laddu, suddenly ran. Okay, ran. Enakke, okay, for me, I want this. He went and asked. And then the distributor was surprised. My God, all the beggars are around, and this man with all 10 fingers, with no, 5 fingers, in low, glittering with 10 rings, and he's asking for laddu, what is this problem? And then suddenly, he gave one. This unakkum dardharma. So he also got it, okay. Then he saw that, oh my God, I ran for this laddu, this elurunda. Okay, then he realized. He knows, oh my God, I'm a rich man now. Gee, I shouldn't have gone for this. I don't need this anymore. No? Why did he go? It's called habitual error. He forgets. He knows he is rich, but he forgot he is rich. Why did he forget? Because of the habit. Understand now? It's called habitual error. Understand now? Therefore, and this person, whenever he goes to the temple, to avoid such a thing, when he gets into the car, I am rich man. Constantly, this is called contemplation, okay? Now, at least he is not, suppose without being poor, if he doesn't know he is rich, and he simply says, I am rich, he is mad. Okay, that is why Shastram says, some people who teach this also, you simply say, I am rich, I am Ahamatma, you become Atma. You can never become Atma, you are already Atma. You know you are Atma, and keep on reminding yourself that you are Atma, what you know about yourself, that is what is contemplation. Understand now? And what happens? It is not simply being poor or not knowing you are rich. If you say, I am rich, you are mad, isn't it? Is that true? You are not rich. So here, he should know that he is rich, and he should remind himself of the truth about himself that he knows. I am rich. Okay? So I don't need to go for begging. If he remembers, I am rich is enough. He doesn't need to say other things. I don't need to go for begging and all those things. How long? Until he forgets. Until he stops forgetting that he is rich, isn't it? I mean, he goes, and whatever is happening, he just walks in to the temple, doesn't go for anything else. It is called habitual error. That is why Nididhyasana is, understand now, is very important. This is what is called bhava. The different bhavanas we have, thoughts, the notions we have about ourselves, we have about the world, we have about Ishvara, all these notions will be sitting in us. That's why this bhavan, this contemplation helps you to this unhealthy emotional thinking, the thinking habits, etc. Then what happens? You constantly, you're focused. That contemplation, all the time focusing attention, the nature of the reality, which you have understood as the knower, as the subject of knowledge, as the very self. And you see that awareness is timeless, beginningless, endless, changeless, and now That awareness alone is there. When the mind is asleep, awareness is. When the mind is this dream, awareness is. The mind is awake, awareness is. When is not awareness? When awareness is not. Even if you say, even before you were born, if you ask the question, were you there before you were born? You may say, no, I was not. You will immediately say, before I was born, Swamini, I was not. You will say that. Because your mind is so, before I was born, I mean, I don't know whether I was. When you say, I was not, that means how do you know you were not? You were there even then. That is why you are able to say that you are ever not. Listen now. To say I was not before I was born, you must have been there. You there's no awareness of your being not there before is there. Isn't it? That is why there's no time. This awareness is I am. This when you this is called constantly focusing the attention. The more and more and more you listen, the class itself becomes contemplation after some time. Then bhavana balat, by this becomes a strength, a contemplation becomes a strength. Why? To ward off this viparyaya, isn't it? So bhavana balat, by contemplation, by strength of contemplation, slowly what happens? The all habitual errors resolve. Then what happens? Then mind abates. But now, there's a nischaya jnanam, drida jnanam takes place. Okay? So sthitihi. Sthitihi is na iruttal. Manam paramborulil onri iruttal. Onru aha mudiyadu, onri iruttal. Look at this. The onrudal, onri iruttal is resolving. Understand now? A better word I found somehow. See, ஒன்று ஆகுதல் சொன்னார்த்தம் இட் வாஸ் ஆல் செப்பரேட் இட் பிகம்ஸ் ஒன்று ஆகுதல் இது ஒன்று ஆகுதல் அல்ல இஸ் ஒன்றுதல் ஒன்று இருத்தல் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் நவ் வாட் இஸ் ரிசால்விங் வாட் இஸ் அபைடிங் அபைடிங் மீன்ஸ் வாட் ஒன்றுதல் ஒன்று இருத்தல் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வாட் இஸ் ஒன்றுதல் இன் டர்ம்ஸ் ஆஃப் நாலெட்ஜ் ஸ்திதிஹி மீன்ஸ் ரிமைனிங் அபைடிங் சுஸ்திதிஹி மீன்ஸ் வாட் தி மைண்ட் the attention of the mind is taken from everywhere, focused on the nature of reality, constantly dwelt upon, then it's understood, satyam is this awareness, then attention of the mind resolves. Okay? This is what is attention of the mind abiding in the nature of reality is what now? Susthitihi. Susthitihi. Okay? Attention of the mind abiding in the nature of reality is what? Parambarulin surupatil manadin gavanam onri iruttal. Now it's called what now? Mind abiding in the nature of reality. Susthitihi. Susthitihi. So bhavana balat susthitihi happens. Mind abiding of the mind. Mind remains absorbed, abiding in the nature of reality. How is it possible? Sadbhavana. You see that word? It says here, susthitihi is as bhava shunya sadbhava. Bhava shunya means what? What bhava shunya? All other thoughts resolve. See, no other thought is there. See, no all other thoughts, all other notions. Bhava shunya means the mind becomes devoid of all other notions. What happened, notions? You're not given up anything here. They resolved. All the notions you have about yourself are resolved. All the notions you have about the world are resolved. All the notions you have about the Bhagavan also are resolved here. Okay? All the notions are resolved. Bhava shunya. All the notions are resolved. Then what happened then? Sadbhava susthitihi. Sadbhava susthitihi means there's attention of the mind is never know remains absorbed in sat. What is the only thing there sat for the thought? Mind thought is there. The attention of the thought is where? Attention of the mind is where is it now placed? in awareness. Atrishna, the mind is placed in awareness. Is aware thought and the awareness are two different things? No. Look at this. You had to listen to me very carefully here. When the attention of the mind is focused on the nature of reality, okay, awareness in fact, all other thoughts are resolved. When no other thought, all other thoughts are resolved, attention of the mind alone is there. Where is it focused? Awareness. Now, in that state, is there distance between or difference between awareness and the thought? Sustitihi. Understand now? It's called sustitihi. Why? Because the thought, attention of the mind is awareness. It's called sustitihi. Sadbhava sustitihi. Sadbhava sustitihi. I'll repeat next week. It is a very beautiful thing. And I see exactly what Ramana means there. Understand now? Exactly, I see that. As I say, I see that. Understand now? All other thoughts are resolved means the attention of the mind is focused on the nature of reality means awareness alone is there, thought is there. That awareness alone is there. No other object is there. Subject itself is the object of thought. Subject, it becomes the object of thought. For you understand what I'm saying, there's no object, okay? Subject itself is the object of thought. Very careful again. Swami Tittuvar, enna maana solichiruke? Endra ketarna. So I had to be very, because it's all, see, we had to be very careful in saying, subject itself, object of thought means, there's no other object. In that, where is the thought? Thought is in awareness. This is what is sadbhava susthitihi. Sadbhava susthitihi. This is like when you see the objects, opaque objects in the light, you miss the light. Even though very seeing takes place in the light, very seeing is possible because of the light, but unfortunately we don't see the light. Understand? And here the teacher has to tell you, come on, all are opaque. Okay, they can't be seen if there is no light. The very seeing is possible because of the light. See that because of which very seeing is possible, because of which the very seen are possible. Understand now? That's what is shifting your attention from the seen to illumined to the illuminator. Understand now? Then say, resolve the illuminator in the light. Listen now, what is there? Can you ever miss light? One indivisible partless whole invariably present in all the variable illumined objects. This is what is shifting, okay? This shifting has taken place in Vidhyasanam. You see the light. Then in seeing then you start seeing the light along with the objects. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Attention is seeing only the light. Even the attention is taken means all of the objects are as good as non-existent now. Understand now? That is happening, no? That is why sometimes you are lost somewhere and thinking, other person sitting and asking question, you don't answer. Screaming also, don't reply because you are totally lost. Like that, here also bhava susthitihi. Sadbhava susthitihi means what? The attention, all other thoughts are resolved. Then no thought rises now. Any notion is a thought, isn't it? All other thoughts about, notions about yourself are resolved. Notions about the world are resolved. Notions about Ishra also are resolved. Sadbhava susthitihi. The mind abides in reality. Understand now? When the mind abides in the nature of reality, when no other thoughts are there, understand? In that, what you see is what? Uttama bhaktihi. all that is what is uttama bhakti. Ahankara has resolved. All that is there is only satyam brahma. Okay? All that is there is only Ishvara. All that is only Bhagavan. This is what absolute surrender. Saranagati. You cannot surrender anything anymore. No surrender is possible. So, you know, uttama bhakti. That's so bhavana balat. By the strength of contemplation, no, as you're contemplating, focusing more and more on nature of reality, all other thoughts resolved, all when the bhava shunya, okay, and that is resolved, then the mind abides in the nature of reality, then you see the oneness of reality, the non-duality of reality. There's no second substance other than the reality. Understand? This non-duality, Advaita Drishtihi, in that what now? That is what is having Advaita Drishtihi is Uttama Bhaktihi. Understand? And this morning I was also telling in the class, you know, actually Shankara, very beautiful thing come. I had to tell you in this context. You know why? Because what happens, the one verse it tells here, why there is something called, no, this agyanam is naturally there. Ignorance being there, then what happens, the essence root remains rooted in this body mind complex. Because of that, what now? Because of this, the adhyasa, adhyaropa, desire, all those things are happening. When the desire is natural, see, look at this, how root cause is agyanam, isn't it? Until agyanam is, the disease is removed, symptoms, how much you try to suppress the symptoms again showing up. So the root cause is there. And agyanam being there, adhyasa being there, adhyaropa being there, inadequacy being there, desire being there. Desire is natural. Desire always impels actions. Karma is performed. The more and more karma you perform, trying to solve all these problems, no? Then the again produces phalam. Phalam being there, again there what happens now? Then again, phalam has to be exhausted, so punaha janma. Then always how do you die? Very beautiful, you know, there's a birth. Birth is definite, okay? What choice do you have about your birth? I don't want to be born again anymore. Do you have any choice? You are helpless in solving this problem of being born again. I love to be born again. That's fine. You, whether you love or not, still you are definite. New body is ready for you. You have no choice here, okay? Please, this is no choice here. Shankara says, no choice here. You had to go and wear this dress. Deepali, kiza, vichirikku, portu, kunanda, kaza, enga, amma, laddi, kadi, kanaka. If I cry for some other dress, this is the dress, Rishwai, please wear it, okay? I can wear it happily. If you become cranky, then I'll go and adi, vahi, then I'll portu, for. Then he said, what, like that, no, Bhagavan says, come on, this is the dress for you. Wear it, okay? No choice here. What choice? We are helpless. This is what's understanding. Because I cannot change the situation. What a situation? Dead, okay? Agyanam is there. Unfulfilled desires are there. Karma, lot of karma we have done knowingly or unknowingly. Sanchitam is big bag is there. One part has to be exhausted, paradha. So body is ready for that. Come on, where? Go, okay? What choice do you have? Understand helplessness, okay? This what is what? This what is called the not being able to lord the situations. Not being able to lord the situations means what? Not being able to control the situations. Not being able to change the situations. What situations? Situation of being born again. And these are the parents. This is the country. This is the land. Oh my God, look at this. What choice do we have here? Don't we feel helpless? This is the incapacity in changing our situations is what? No, this is what makes us unhappy. Shankara says very beautiful. Why do you have shoka? Why are you unhappy? Why do you grieve? No, why you are grieving? Because of this. If you can change situation, you'll be very happy to come and jumping and then wearing whatever you want to do. If you can change situations, you'll be happy. You are the lord of situations then. You are not able to change the situations. Undesirable. Desirable are okay. Undesirable situations you cannot change. Okay, the being incapable of now changing situations is what is called helplessness. Understand? Similarly, death also. What choice do we have? We are helpless. And in between birth and death also, sukham dukkham, pain is, pleasure is there. My God, that pain, no? To earn the pleasure, you have to work hard, as pain is involved. To preserve, to maintain the pleasure, again, the pain is involved. Again, to sustain the pleasure, pain is involved. And in losing pleasure, greater pain there is. Okay, always pleasure is pain mixed only. There is no adukkha, amishrita, sukham is not there at all. The sukham is what? Listen now. That's why we say this is how the pleasure is. And we have pain. It is undesirable. What choice do you have? You feel you feel incapable. Understand now, you understand incapacity, you're incapable of changing situations. That situation only makes you unhappy. If you can change situations, you will be happy. And what do we do? Whole life, not knowing, understanding our helplessness, you always slog and struggle and strain to change situation. All the whole life is lived, karma is done to change situations, to keep us in good humor. Whole life is lived. Avivekataya, with the lack of discrimination, you die. Okay, birth. And then what happens in between? So birth and death, in between what happens? Like Ramji says sometimes, the floods come, now lots of woods and the big lots of woods, they come together sometimes. Again, big wave comes and they separate. Like that, one were born and gets associated with some people, mother, father, friends and husband, children, and some people were the friends, socializing, some associations. Again, death comes. Like again, another wave separates, like we all get separated. That is why, kadu vare yaru, kadasi vare yaru, understand now. So, then one we cut something, we said, then separated again. Vyoga, look at this. What choice do we have? Helpless. Samyoga, one point. Vyoga, another point. This happened between birth and death. Again, continues. This is called samsara, continuous and continuous and continuous. We helpless situation. This is why we are grieving. And he says, and who is the Lord? Okay, if you know the truth. Understand? Oh, you mean that I, as an individual, I cannot lord the situations. Do you think Lord can change situations? This is what our Shastram says. Lord also cannot change the situations. Lord also cannot change situations. Bhagavan cannot change situations. And who is Bhagavan then? What is this Lord then? Lord is the one who doesn't need to change the situations. Not the one who can change the situations, but the one who doesn't require to change situations. But who is Jiva? One who cannot change situations, one who is always struggling to change the situations, one who always fails in changing situations, all his efforts in changing situations. Utter failure, okay? Change situations is the Jiva. How can I become then? Know the truth. I am Ishwaraha. If you discover the truth, do you think I can change? No, you don't need to change then. Then you will not be able to change the situations. Then you will not require to change the situations. Isn't it? See, this is why because we have a wrong understanding. Bhagavan is sitting somewhere and he is all-powerful, almighty. See, look at this. Again, the words, almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent. He knows everything. He can change everything. That's not true. Bhagavan also cannot change. Why? Because the change situation itself is Bhagavan. Understand? Why Bhagavan cannot change situations? Tell me. Every situation is Bhagavan. That is why Bhagavan cannot change situations. Bhagavan does not need to change the situations. Understand now? Why Bhagavan cannot? Because how can Bhagavan change? Because situation is Bhagavan. So who is Bhagavan? One who does not need to change situations. So what should I do? Discover that you are Bhagavan. So what? Instead of changing, you don't need to change situations. Understand? So all that there is, Ishvara. This is what is Uttama Bhakti. Understand? So Bhavana Balat. பாவசூன்யம், எந்த மற்ற எண்ணங்கள் எதுவுமே இல்லாத பரம்பருடைய சொரூபத்திலேயே நிலையாக கவனம் நிற்கும் பொழுது எல்லாம் பரம்பொருள் என்ற உண்மை விளங்குவதே மேலான பக்தி, உத்தமா பக்தி. ஓம் பூர்ணமத் பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமே.